What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Middlesex County Cricket League podcast. The season's finished. We have approximately 33 weeks until the 2024 campaign kicks in. But Sal and Ali and myself are going to do our very best to talk as much cricket as is humanly possible between now and then. Sal, how are you? Are you good? Have you had a busy week? Back to school, I guess.
Back to school, mate. The kids are back in, driving us mad already. So yeah, it's all good. I mean, I think the weather's got slightly confused, hasn't it, this week? Obviously, this is what we wanted in May, June, July, and August, not end of September, or early September. But yeah, the heat has been quite tough actually the last couple of days. I was sort of out and about just doing stuff and actually getting really warm.
Oh, it's so irritating, though, isn't it? Because, yeah, you know, we had a third of the season rained off and, you know, a fair few games that were played in pretty rubbish conditions. And then suddenly we're in 30 degrees again. It drives you around the bend, doesn't it?
I don't know. More than that, was it yesterday? I think 33 at one point.
Yeah, absolutely. Good, good. Well, Sal and I thought we'd start our winter crusade to talk plenty of cricket by, well, at an obvious starting point, that the champions this year were Stanmore. And I'm not sure too many people would necessarily have predicted that Stanmore would win the league. So we thought it made sense to get Stanmore skipper Grant Reingold onto the pod. Grant, how are you?
Yeah, well, thank you. And well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for coming on board. It's, you know, it's great to speak to you. I mean, we'll get into Stanmore's season and how the campaign unfolded in a minute. But first up, can you just give us a quick 30-second blast? Where did you begin your cricketing journey, Grant? Where did it start and how have you got to where you are?
Yeah, good question. Well, I guess for me, it basically started on the side of my dad's field. Lucky enough, I got a brother who's of a similar age and had similar interests. So that was the two of us every Saturday. Dad would just park us up on the side, wherever he was going, home and away. And we had a bat and a ball between us and we kind of just kicked it around ourselves and I guess really just tried to work things out for ourselves, tried to sneak in the changing room and catch what we wanted to be a little bit older than we were. But yeah, our experience.
Familiar story, all that, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Just being kids and growing up around the field. And yeah, we absolutely loved it. And obviously growing up at Stanmore around the field and then getting old enough and playing some senior cricket. Started in the threes and actually played with Angus, our chairman, Angus Fraser, in the threes when I started out when I was 13 and 14 and kind of worked myself up as I got a bit older. But yeah.
So it's always been Stanmore then, Grant? You've never played any cricket anywhere else?
No. Well, I actually, very weirdly enough, when I was about 12 or 13, I couldn't get into our threes. So I actually went to Finchley and played in their fours just for a year. But that was about it, really. Otherwise, yeah, Stanmore through and through.
Oh, certainly the picture as an outsider looking in, you know, the Reingold family is definitely strongly aligned with Stanmore. I think everybody in Middlesex cricket won't be too surprised with the story you're telling there. Now, I was going to sort of start with a bit of a curveball here, but one of my last games in the second team at Twickenham was in 2014. And back in 2014, Stanmore's seconds were strong. This was the top of Division One. And Twickenham's twos had a good season. And we met on the final day of the season. And both teams already got promoted up to the Prem. And so it was a winner-take-all contest for the title, which it was a great position to be in, really. Because even if you lose, you're still going up. You know, it was fantastic. And on that day, and of course, we didn't have the split format then. It was win, lose, draw. Stanmore had the draw, so Twickenham had to go to the Common and win. And we won the toss. We had a bat, put 250 odd on the board. And then, as often happens, and this is sort of what we hope might happen, you know, the actual act of trying to block it out was almost the ruin of Stanmore, because, you know, in the end, we got very much on top, but we couldn't quite bowl Stanmore out. And I've got the card right in front of me here, actually. And I think you closed 122 for 8. I think that's what I remember it as being. And, you know, it's one of those days where, because we were bowling quickly, we bowled loads more overs than we should have done. We got an extra 5 in. One of our guys, a really good second team cricketer called Talal Hassan, had what the most bonkers bowling figures I've ever experienced as a cricketer. He bowled 21 overs, 17 maidens, and took 6 for 9. And of course, we had 6 slips and everything else. We're trying to get Stanmore out at the end. And on one, it was a great game of cricket. And I remember drinking on the common there with the Stanmore boys right until, you know, late into the evening to celebrate 2 promotions and a marvellous day. Why do I bring it all up now? Well, looking at the card, and you kept, okay, Grant Reingold in there with the gloves, batted in the middle order. Some you know, well-known Mets, you know, Navin Samarakoon was opening the batting. I remember him in a couple of big sixes on the day. And some bloke called Steve Reingold played as well, and he didn't bat. And my first question to you is, it looks to me like there's a few other names in that side who have gone on. You know, I've gone into retirement, and you've gone on to bigger and better things. And the one that caught my eye was Steve, not batting. First question, can you remember much about the day? Feel free to say no. But what about that side that you had then? Because a few people do seem to have graduated on to being proper cricketers.
Yeah. I mean, to be quite frank, I don't remember the day too much. I think, what did you say, 2014? Yeah. So I would have been about 9 years ago. I would have been about 18, 17.
You've moved on to bigger and better things, Grant. That's the answer to that question.
Yeah, but it's really interesting. You're picking up on I guess, some familiar names that you might be more familiar with seeing in the first team over recent years, and including, I guess, Stephen and myself. But I think there's some other names in there as well that have really played like a vital role for us in the ones in the past couple of years. So by top of the head, Sahil Vora is in there, and Richard Pandya, who both contributed a lot this year in the ones, and obviously Stephen and myself, which is quite funny to look at back now, Stephen batting 11 and being our frontline offie, which is kind of what he did as a kid growing up. So,
well, I was also racking my brains. I thought, did he get injured? Was there some incident I've forgotten where he couldn't bat? And then you say, no, he just didn't bat back then. So blimey, bats now.
Yes. Yeah. He does. And I think it's just crazy, isn't it, to see how people develop at different times and things like that. But yeah, it's nice to reminisce those days. That's for sure.
There's also a bigger picture point to be made there, to be honest, and that is that a second team is supposed to help players develop into first team players. And there's a lot of clubs out there, and you know, maybe Twickenham has been one in the past, where people play at the second team level and it's sort of as good as they're going to get. And, you know, I'm probably the type of cricketer I'm talking about, really. Whereas Stanmore, it looks like it is really a production line. You're in the second team to learn your game so that you hopefully move on and play in the first team, as that scorecard illustrates, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's kind of been the model for us for a number of years, as I think that shows. You know, possibly we're in a slightly different, you know, geographical position than some of the other Premier League clubs, and potentially as a result of that, we're kind of enforced to have this model. But I think it works brilliantly, because, you know, it gives everyone the opportunity, and it helps everyone, I think, knowing that merit is rewarded. And, you know, for us, it's something that's sustainable. We've got a really good cult set up, and we do kind of get those youngsters around 17, 16, 17, 18. So it kind of does act as a really nice funnel. And thankfully over the past couple of years, it's worked out okay. So
I think you'd be a bit modest there, because I mean, I take all of those points on board, but it's not just about merit being rewarded. You've got to be good in the first place. You've got to have the ability, and you've got to have that ability nurtured so that you move on, because there's plenty of good players out there who for whatever reason, they don't kick on.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's kind of what we've had over the past few years, is kind of that blend between the kind of the youngsters coming in who we're giving an opportunity, as well as some of the slightly older guys who have played a fair bunch of first team cricket. And I think just having that blend makes the youngsters feel a bit more comfortable. It helps them learn a little bit quicker. But yeah, ultimately, we all just try and have fun together, regardless of our age and our kind of cricketing abilities. But yeah, it's interesting to look back at.
Good stuff. I should say, it sort of turned full circle for me as well. I played one game in our threes this year against Stanmore threes, and Naveen Samarakoon opened the batting and still hitting sixes. So,
yeah, so that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, some things don't change.
We talk about the season and what a great season it was. So congratulations from us on the pod for an amazing achievement with Stanmore. It's been a bit of an odd season due to the weather. We had lots of games called off. And I'm sure every captain said at the beginning of the season, you know, they think they can win the league. But when did you actually feel that, you know, you guys had a good chance of winning the league this season? Which was it a turning point? Was it a particular moment that you sort of felt this could be our year?
Yeah, good question. I think, you know, I think we started off quite well. And I think we kind of took a lot of confidence in those kind of the first half, really. I think around the halfway point, we were definitely like, if we keep playing our cricket here, we absolutely back ourselves to pull our results together when we need to and just to continue kind of performing. I think obviously as the rain came and went, it was pretty stop start. And I think everyone was probably looking at it like any result is pretty possible here. And I think we just tried to focus on us and just allow things to play out on a kind of week by week basis, which yeah, ultimately took us to the last couple of weeks. And I guess towards the end, once we beat Ealing in that penultimate week and we knew North Mid fell short at Twickenham, or at home to Twickenham, then obviously it was all kind of teed up. But
no, let's get this right. North Mid were well beaten by Twickenham. We didn't beat many people this year. We're taking that one as a big plus. We turned up on the day.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, I think we were always pretty confident. We know we back our side completely. And like I said, the kind of blend of youth and experience kind of always comes forward here and there. So we were just hoping to fire at the right time. And yeah, and we did, I guess. So
can, just, I mean, it's probably a tough question, this one. But after week 16, so how many points were you behind North Mid? You're probably 15 or so points, right?
Yes, we must have been a good, yeah, more than a win.
A win and a bit, yeah.
Yeah, it was about a win and a bit more, I think, at least. But yeah, I guess, yeah, that penultimate week kind of teed it all up, really, didn't it?
Well, in a way, I mean, psychology is an odd thing, isn't it? You know, you sort of feel you're probably not going to do it, but you've got no intention to stop trying. You know, you just go out and play, don't you? Just be positive. And my impression is that you're a pretty positive team.
Yeah, we think so, and that's our kind of message. You know, we all kind of give up our Saturday to spend the day together and go out and play. So, you know, let's go and give it a fair crack, and let's go and be nice and positive, and really just back ourselves. So, yeah, that's definitely been the message. So, I guess thankful it came through.
Actually, Grant, I'm going to ask you a key moment. Actually, I thought for personally myself, I was actually coming home from a game umpire and put the stream on. It was the Ealing game. At one point, you looked home and hosed like the game was done, more or less, wasn't it? You know, you had a good position. They were struggling to get a rise, and they obviously had a bit of flurry where sort of there was a few sort of no balls flying around and boundaries being hit. And then you went to Abhishek Kulkarni's bowler last over. I think that was his first league game in the ones this year, was it as well? I know he's played around before and he's played minor county or national county and stuff, but what was your thoughts going into the final six balls with the ball in his hand?
exactly. No, I mean, obviously, I was fairly comfortable in that situation. You know, I think having an experienced guy who has done it in the past, even though he hadn't quite played as many games as we would have liked this year, I think giving the ball to a guy who I know has done it in the past for us and over a long period, you're kind of happy that even if it doesn't quite work out, we know we're gonna have clear plans and we're gonna try and execute to the best of our ability. And then he started rolling in those Yorkers as perfectly as we could have wished. So, yeah, no, super thankful to have someone like that come in and bowl at such a pressure time. Yeah, it was so good for the team to have that kind of depth as well, considering he hasn't really played that much through the year.
And on the day itself, then against North Mid. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, but there'll be certainly a few listeners who aren't up to speed with the details. But how did the day pan out? Did you win the toss?
I did win the toss, although I didn't realise I did. And James Pardler was waiting for me to say something. And I was like, oh, I thought you won it. But I did actually win it. And we decided to bat first, thinking in a big game, let's get some runs on the boards. Being at home as well, we kind of would prefer to do that slightly. And yeah, I think when we turned up on the day, we knew we were going to be up against it, looking at their side. And you know, I think all you can do on a day like that is just kind of focus on yourselves. And I think we just thought to ourselves, if we come out and put two good halves of cricket together, then we're going to be in a really good spot. And, you know, if that's all we can do and we don't get over the line, then kind of fair play. But yeah, we were pretty excited just to be involved in a day like that. It's great fun, and it's kind of what you play for and what you give your time up. And yeah, I think we were just pretty happy to be involved in that, but fully backing ourselves to go and get the job done at the same time.
Those week 18 showdowns, like the one you had, they're so much better because there's so much time in cricket that's not good. And that's not a criticism. You know, you get given out with some dodgy LBW decision, you play a rank bad shot, it's raining all day, you know, all that stuff's part of it. And it makes the game what it is, but it makes those big occasions just even better, right?
It really does. And like I said, like we all give up our summers and our Saturdays, and, you know, it gets to that final one, I guess, regardless of the situation. And you're kind of like, you know, this is our last Saturday together. Following this, there's absolutely nothing. And it's like, let's just go and make the most of it. But I think those occasions are exactly what you play for and what you kind of work so hard, you know, all the thinking that goes in through the winter and the training, regardless of the rain and not, you know. It's quite funny that it came down to that final game. But yeah, it's just about going and enjoying it. The sun was out and we were at home. You know, we were going to have an end of season social after regardless. So, you know, it was all kind of lined up. But yeah, just going out enjoying it was definitely the main message.
And even then, I think every cricketer at every level will have had games like that, you know, where the season is the fixture computer's done its thing. It's thrown up the two best sides or the two worst sides to play each other on the same day. And that's what it's all about. It's why you get out of bed, isn't it, on a cold February morning to go and have a net or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it's exactly why we all play the sport and why we love it and why we watch it and yeah, love it so much, is because it does spring up days like that and situations like that, which is just, you can't really script. Yeah. So yeah, no, just great to be a part of such a thing.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you about key moments this year, Grant, which you sort of picked out for the season, which might be season game defining maybe at some point. But how the Northbid boys after the game? They hang around for a few beers with you guys and not seem to join a celebration, but gracious in defeat, were they?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, we have a great relationship with the Northmid boys, and yeah, they were great after the game. I knew some of them did hang around, which was amazing, because I know they had an end of season social back at their place as well. So we were super thankful that they kind of hang around and stayed for a beer, which was lovely. But yeah, we really get on with them. So it was such a nice day in general, and they brought quite a few of their boys down, which only added to the day, which is great. A bit more atmosphere.
How many were there actually, Grant, watching? Was there a fair few people watching by the end?
There were, I reckon. Yeah, it was definitely the busiest we've seen it in a while. I mean, at least since we were in the National Cup, which was probably 2018. Yeah, I don't reckon we've had that many people down there. Yeah, for a few years now, which was great to see. I think the bar was struggling to keep up,
which is always good.
Absolutely.
Yes, and so Grant, during the season, which moments do you think sort of stood out in the campaign and you guys actually, you know, winning the league? I know your brother took two amazing catches in the final game. I saw one actually. Was it Tate McQueen who scored 100 catch him? Obviously, that was popular at all in the game itself, but anything else will stand out as well during the year?
Yeah, good question. I think something that strikes out to me, and sorry to bring this up down, but it was at Twickenham. And I was actually away that week, but I remember being away and kind of watching on my phone and following the stream. And I think Stephen got 100. We were chasing about 280, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
And I thought that was quite a lot of runs, you know, chasing.
Is it Twickenham at the moment? It wouldn't have been 10 years ago, but that's 268 wins your most games at Twickenham.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I know you guys have got a really good attack, and, you know, a couple of spinners get into their rhythm, and that's a very far target. But I think the really pleasing was Stephen getting 100, and our other opener, Aryan Sawant, got 70-odd, I think, as well, which was kind of his kind of first mark in our first team and in the Prem. So I see that as a big moment because, well, the two of them kind of went on to do some really good things through the season. But I guess ultimately in the penultimate game at Ealing, they both got 100. But I kind of saw the foundations of that being built at that Twickenham game, which was a massive win to go and chase 280 in that way. I think we won off the last ball as well or something.
Three balls go. Yeah.
And I just think, you know, the kind of character to get over and having two guys in your top four go big is exactly what a team needs to go and push on and do some good things. So,
although it's funny the perspectives you have on the game of cricket. I never thought you weren't going to win.
Yeah,
but
that's fine.
I would say that we were bottom of the league, you know. But I felt Steve was in absolute, and both of those guys were out at more or less same time, I think. But even then, I just felt no, they look like a side who are going to do this.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting. And I was obviously away, so I was quite far from it, and not watching every ball as such. But you know, I think it's the kind of character to kind of pull through, get over on the last line, a big chase away from home is definitely something you look for to kind of propel your season. So. Yeah, definitely a moment that sticks with me, even though I wasn't there.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And I mean, you mentioned a couple of the younger players there, but there are, I mean, Will Lovell's come through this season as well, hasn't he? He's had a good campaign.
Yeah. So Will was our overseas this year.
Yeah.
So he was over from Melbourne.
He's only a young lad though, isn't he? Is that right? I don't know him personally.
Yeah, he's 22.
22, okay. 22. Well, that's young when you're 49, believe me.
but no, he seriously helped up this year. I mean, to obviously taking the new ball is a massive role, and we knew it would be more so. You mentioned Abhishek earlier, but he wasn't going to be around as much, so we kind of really needed someone to step into those shoes. But quite amazingly, he also, we didn't really bring him over as a batter, but he ended up batting three a few times and batting five and six towards the end. And you know, I think that's what you look for from your overseas guy, just to kind of step up into any shoes required. And he really did that. And, you know, some of the death bowling spells he put together really won us and got us over many a line. So
he wasn't really an all-rounder. That's interesting. I assumed he was, because he's clearly batted and bowled this year.
No, he was kind of like, oh, I'd like to work on my batting and bat in the middle order if I can. This is kind of prior to him coming. And I was like, oh, yeah, we can have a look and see how you go. But, you know, I think we kind of try and reward performances all over, and he was a perfect example of that. You know, when the middle order wasn't firing, he helped us out at 8 and 9, and that's just crucial. Mm. So, a brilliant campaign from him, that's for sure.
And back next year? I mean, I'm not asking you to reveal trade secrets, but are we likely to be seeing him again? Is it a possibility?
I think it's a possibility. Obviously, a long winter, so we'll have to see what happens. And I think he's potentially looking for a job back in Melbourne, but I think everything's on the table at this point. And I think, yeah, winning the league definitely helps that prospect. So, yeah, we'll see how things go over the winter and definitely assess that option, yeah. It'd be great.
Makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
But Grant, we're going to tap into your knowledge of the league and the players itself here now. So, Stanmore players excluded, who would you say the best bowler you've come up across and who's the best batter? So they can't be from your club.
Just for diplomatic reasons. It's way too difficult if you've got your own club members. You know,
obviously, your name is brother, wouldn't he? For both of them.
Yeah, you're going to get kneecapped if you get the wrong answer to that one there.
Bowling wise, I would say Apajit from Crouch End. He sticks us an absolute twist and turns, and we call him the Wizard. They might not know that, but he is just an incredible bowler to face, and so difficult to try and get away and to put off his spot. Batting wise, that's a good question. It's a good question. I think the one that we're so often afraid of would be Ollie Wilkin. You know, I think obviously we're slightly spin heavier typically, and I think there's not many guys who can play spin quite like he does in such a destructive way, and you're always kind of worried about what's coming next when he's at the crease. So yeah, I think I'd have to say those two.
Yeah, I had a feeling for quite a long time in English cricket, right from the top, from Test cricket down to, you know, Division 24B, that bowling was a bit stronger than batting. I think we went through a period in English cricket where we struggled to score runs at all levels. I'm not so sure that's true anymore. You obviously play at a good level. What's your feeling? Is ball, I wouldn't say dominating the bat. Does ball have the edge over the bat, or a batsman kick backs? I think they might have done, actually.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with you. I think the pendulum's definitely slightly swung. You know, I guess I think back to kind of watching my dad on the side and playing 18 games of all day games. So kind of declaration and having to bowl out the opposition. I think that maybe gave the kind of look that bowlers were always on top, but I guess it was fewer bowlers bowling plenty more overs. So possibly the kind of introduction of the coloured stuff and the pink ball, particularly in our cases, as well as possibly typically slightly better weather and some better pitches, I definitely think has slightly changed that pendulum, or swung the pendulum back towards the batter slightly, which is definitely interesting to kind of see play out.
Yeah, it's one of the, I never know I'd actually measure it. I mean, I don't know how you really compare the two, but I do think that, you know, more and more teams play on covered pitches. And I don't want to sound like I'm 150 years old, but I think that that has to make a difference to the batter. It's got to be easier to bat if the surface is dry and true. So yeah, in the great scheme of things, that the more covered pitches you have, you'd think the better batting should be.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I just think there are more things coming into the game as well over time, I guess. New shots, new ways of thinking, new ways of approaching the game. You know, well, Stephen speaks to us quite a lot about the kind of mental aspect and the mental skills that people need to go and succeed. And I think, you know, I don't know if it is the case, but, you know, I think maybe batters are using other techniques other than just hitting balls that are definitely helping them kind of come through, as well as maybe some better pitches and the pink ball and things like that. But
It's a generational thing as well, Grant. I mean, I see our all-stars at Twickenham, you know, and no disrespect, but a lot of them don't really know what they're doing, but they can all play the reverse scoop, you know, and it's like, let's just say that the eight-year-old Dan Huff was not playing the reverse scoop. And it's like the different attitude to the game. I'm all for it in an odd way, even though I'm a bit of a traditionalist. I'm all for it. You know, cricket's evolving and it's great.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to watch and it makes it so entertaining, I think. And, you know, there are still people that have their own kind of unique ways of approaching things. And I think, again, that just makes it such a good sport and definitely draws us back week in, week out just to see what unfolds.
Yep.
But yeah, it's definitely great to watch and see how it all develops.
Those questions Sal's asked just reminded me of another one. And this is a loaded question, right? What's the best catch you've seen at Stanmore this year?
It would have to be, well, yeah, definitely slightly.
You know where I'm going.
I know exactly where you're going. Yeah, I think Stephen's catch on the boundary on Saturday, north mid to catch Alex McQueen was
a super catch.
It's pretty special. It's pretty special. Yeah.
Although there is a loaded question. The second part to the loaded question is, I can think of a second catch at Stanmore. It wasn't as crucial as that catch, and that was a brilliant catch. Don Manuelji's to get rid of Stephen when he ran onto the artificial. And Don is not, I love Don Manuelji, he's not the most athletic man in the world. And he went full on belly flop and somehow held it on the artificial. I mean, Stanmore's a place to take great catches, right?
Apparently so. I mean, when we saw that happen, we thought that was the best catch we've ever seen at Stanmore, at least, but probably ever. I mean, the distance he covered, the amount of snow that ball had on it.
The arms, remember the arms?
The arms were
going, blading around above his head. Yeah.
He was twisting, and I think he ended up landing on the Astro as well, which is just an absolute nightmare. I mean, yeah. And the fact he held onto it was just incredible. It was absolutely incredible.
Well, I think a fair few of our boys were every bit as surprised as you were, let's just say that. But I just think Stanmore is a place where great catches have been taken. And again, though, that's how sides win leagues, isn't it? You take key catches at key times to, you know, to get where you need to go. Anyway.
Mum and Dad, obviously a massive influence at Stanmore, Grant, on and off the pitch over the years. Mum plays a massive part of the juniors, obviously the coaching. Dad's been this, you know, part of the side for, I can't remember how many years myself personally, but it's probably going on quite a few now. So yeah, what kind of influence did they have in the season itself? And what was it like in the Ryan Golden household sort of Thursday, Friday before the North Mid game? Actually, probably afterwards as well, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite amazing, really. You know, for us all to be involved, it's why we kind of spend so much time up there. It's because we can just all be together. But yeah, there are a million and one conversations about cricket, as you can imagine, and we talk everything from from who's cleaning up the night after the social to what teams are we picking to a weekend. And you know, they're obviously an incredible influence, and they've given us the structure that we now have at Stanmore, you know, particularly Dad over the years to kind of set up almost this team as well, having only stopped playing, well, last year, this year, really. So obviously there are a huge influence on not just us and me and Stephen ourselves, but the club in general and you know, the structure that we're lucky to enjoy now.
And possibly the most important question we've asked so far, how's your dad's golf going?
It's going all right, I think. It's going good. All right. I think there are a few bad days and a few good days, which is just sums it up, I think, really. But yeah, it's definitely the new hobby. And yeah, it's going well, I think. It's going very well.
Yeah, a diplomatic answer. You don't want to be sort of, you know, saying he's rubbish at the same time. You don't want to be sort of blowing too much smoke. So I think that's a perfectly fair response to that one.
This is obviously going to be quite an easy question to answer. I'm actually interested to know what you would choose then, because having not sampled them yet, and I'm really looking forward to at some point, maybe next year, doing this. You know, your mum, her teas and lunches are, you know, renowned on the circuit, umpires, players, anyone who gets along to Stanmore just goes into, like, you know, reveals how great they are. What would you say is your mum's best lunch that you've had?
Oh,
don't get this one wrong.
Cricket in lunch.
Can't get this one wrong. For me, I mean, it's actually fairly easy for me because I often try and get in the ear early in the week and try and give a few suggestions.
Okay.
But my favourite have to be chicken pie with banoffee pie for dessert. Whoa.
Mouth's watering already.
Yeah, the bowlers typically aren't too happy when that comes out and we're fielding, but
I bet they still have some.
Yeah, they do. There's plenty of portions stuck away in the fridge for later, that's for sure.
Okay, I'll get booked in for next season.
Yeah, I believe Sal's already set on, you know, I think your twos are playing North London twos, and Sal is already not available for the panel that day. Got no idea why, but it will soon work itself out. Rather more mundane question. I don't know if you even had a chance to think about this one, but 2024 is ages and ages away, but it'll be here soon enough, I guess. The winters do go round. The aims for next season, it's obviously to carry on, right? But how are you going to begin preparing for that? Are you the type of side that will be netting all the way through the winter, or are you going to have a couple of months where you just take a deep breath and step back a bit? Or how's the winter going to look?
Yeah, good question. I guess we typically kind of just play it by ear and try and get a sense of you know, what we want to do and how we kind of want to approach it. Typically, we try and look to leave this kind of period and just let everyone kind of get back to their lives and back to their families, yeah, or back to school and uni in other cases and things like that. So, yeah, I think for us, we'll probably look to try and get back in the nets probably post-Christmas in the new year. Yeah, and try and give it kind of a nice little sprint up towards April or so.
Yep. And do you think you'll sort of approach next year a bit differently? I mean, I guess you're there to be shot at now. I mean, as title holders.
I guess so. But no,
it's a good position to be in, right?
Yeah, it is. It is, I guess. But I don't think our approach will have changed too much. I mean, I think we're a pretty relaxed bunch. And, you know, even kind of going into that final game, we didn't really change anything. You know, no one really kind of got to the game earlier. We didn't really change our warm up or change our kind of chat before the game or anything. So I think we try and just stick to our little routines and I hope it keeps firing, I guess.
Well, it makes a lot of sense. I don't think you have to change anything radically when you just won the title. That's certainly something I'd say. We've been talking a lot about league cricket here, but there has actually been some post-league cricket in the shape of some cup finals, Sal, and you've been following them, right?
Yeah, so the season actually officially come to an end today in Middlesex. And yesterday we had the trophy final, which was hosted by Harrow Town, who took on England Gymkhana.
Did I see the picture of a cake, Sal?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
what was all that
I'm
about?
Sure Steph will be impressed by this cake. So I think Mohsin Shafi, who plays for Harrow Town, wasn't famous, but one of Harrow Town's top members. His wife made cake, which looks pretty amazing. So if you follow the MCCL Twitter page, pop along today and you'll see a picture of it, and it looks very impressive. So I was really sort of gutted not to be there yesterday because I was definitely
all over that one. That. Yep.
Oh, all over it, mate. So my ideas for Steph maybe for one of the lunches maybe next season. Yes, so Harrow Town hosted India Gymkhana. Gymkhana, a really good sort of first part of the game. Really, you had Harrow Town 1-2-3-7, but Rohan Yadav coming in quite late down, all hit 78 for 8, 52 balls, which led them to 2-3-4-8. Which really sort of, I think, really made it tough for Gymkhana. Gymkhana never really in the hunt, despite a rapid 36 from your man, Palming.
Still whacking it.
16 balls, yeah, hanging around there. The bowl at 110, so well done to Harrow Town. And today we had the final at the League Cup final at Caughton Road, which actually Stanmore actually played in last year's version this season. And Ealing won it again. So Ealing have won the same trophy in the space of 6 months. Congratulations to Ealing and Christian Martin, your side, winning by 5 wickets. Hatton did well, you know, posted a challenging score 2-4-1, Buran 9-15, Sahil Kerr, the captain, scored 58. And Ealing were in a bit of trouble, 39-3, but a player Grant mentioned earlier on, Ollie Wilkin, superb, 107 not out. Actually, I was watching most of the news. It wasn't a very typical Ollie Wilkin, bombastic, smashing the ball over there, very sort of pace innings, you know, bided his time, didn't obviously put the bad balls away. And with Robbie Connolly, he scored 56, added on, I think, over 100. And that was enough to see them, as I said, retain the same cup. So both cups were won by the same sides who won them last season, or actually this season in Ealing's case. So Harrow Town back-to-back, Ealing back-to-back.
Well, we did say, didn't we, about halfway through the season, that Harrow Town looked like they're a much better limited over side than all-day cricket side, which may be doing them a disservice, actually. Maybe there's things that have happened that have just made their all-day cricket form dip. But certainly when it comes to limited over stuff, they've been pretty resilient, haven't they, over the past 2 or 3 years?
Very good record. I mean, especially this year as well. I don't think they've lost a league game, which limited overs, and also having won all their games in this competition to show it's definitely their strength and something maybe they'll be looked to address in terms of time format next season. But yeah, they know how to sort of, you know, dig in and post scores, and then they've got a decent bowling attack, which obviously does its job. And yesterday was a good example of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Folks, I'm going to end most of the pods that we have between now and the end of November with the same question, right? And Sal, you're going to get about six chances to answer this as a result. And you can give me six different answers if you like. But World Cup's coming up. Who's going to win? Do you want to kick off, Sal?
Is it being played in India?
Yeah. Because I was just explaining to my kids the rationale for all this September one day international cricket. And, you know, it's warming up.
I'm going to go with England because I think they've got such a strong squad. I mean, they can almost play two levels, I suppose. They've got so much talent and experience and quality within their side. So I know it's been played in India and subcontinent. I'm not sure what the record's like for sides to go over and win in that part of the world. But
I think the last three winners have been the India of the World Cup.
So. Yeah, so that England might break that tradition. I think there's so much pressure in India these days. They are, you know, it's this whole weight of the nations on their shoulders, especially Kohli and the guys they've got playing. So I think England will definitely, and also, you know, England players now have experience playing IPL cricket, so they're not alien to these conditions they'll be playing in when it comes to the comp itself. So a lot of them guys have experienced what it's like to play there. So
you'd want Josh Butler in your team, whoever you are, wouldn't you? You know, he definitely knows his way around whacking the ball.
He loves it, doesn't he? So I'm definitely going to, I'm going to England. Yeah.
Grant, any thoughts?
Yeah, interesting. I mean, as much as I'd love to say my home country, South Africa, I don't quite think that's going to happen. But I would have gone with the home advantage. I would have gone with India. You know, I know the pressure is going to be incredible, but you'd like to think that them playing at home, knowing their conditions the best, and being able to prepare the best, I guess, should put them in the best spot to go and do so.
Yeah. Well, I was hearing Simon Dool saying that he thought South Africa were one of the decent bets as an outside chance. And when he talked me through the sort of side that South Africa could pick, I thought, well, yeah, there's some decent players in there.
It seems so on paper, but the way they've been going against the Aussies the past week or two, it doesn't leave much to be desired, I think. But, you know, hopefully they'll just peak at the right time and then we'll be happy.
So here we go, yeah. One last stat for you. You might like this one, Sal. I know you're a stats man. Liam Livingstone, did you hear this one about his batting? He got 90-odd today, didn't he, when England beat New Zealand? And he batted, I've got to get this right. It's the first time he's batted longer than 50 balls in any innings. For how many innings? What are you going to go for? When was the last time, in terms of number of innings, that he batted 50 balls? All forms of the game that he's played.
25.
Grant?
Oh, I had 20 in my head.
110.
Yeah. Blimey.
So in his previous 109 innings, he'd not faced 50 balls. It's like, what? I guess to be fair to him, he's often coming in with 25 balls to face, but I just couldn't believe when I heard it. But it was on Sky.
I wouldn't tell Neville to talk about that stat, Dan.
Say again?
I wouldn't tell Neville to talk about that stat.
Yeah, let's not even go there. Yeah. But I thought it was a good stat to end the pod on. Grant, thanks for coming on board. It's been fantastic talking to you. Best of luck next season as well. Always fascinating to see how sides go after such a brilliant season. And of course, well done on this one. You know, a great achievement. And we'll look forward to seeing you lift the cup at the presentation night. I guess you'll be there.
Yes, yeah, I'll be there. But yeah, cheers, guys. Thanks for having me. It's been great to chat. And hope to catch you guys.
Before we end, guys, actually on that point, Dan, I think speaking to Bob Baxter last week, I think the league dinner this year is not going to be till sort of March time. So the normal sort of date in winter has been sort of put back a few months. It's not confirmed, but that's what I understood from having spoken to Bob last week.
So I raised a point and it did occur to me. I hadn't got a clue when the annual presentation was, but that now explains it. Okay, so we're looking at March.
We're talking about March, I think, next season, before the season sort of starts. So again, that's not confirmed, so don't take it as gospel, but that was what was told to me last week. Actually, before the year, so to mention, I mean, we've spoken about Stanwell, and this goes to show their success, what a great league our league is. I just counted before we came on air, I think the last 10 seasons, we've had seven different clubs win the competition. Now, you look at most of the Premier Leagues around the country, you tend to get the same two or three clubs winning year in, year out, you know, in Essex and Surrey and all these other counties. So it just goes to show what a great comp we have and such a varied, you know, in terms of like, it does show anyone can win it. Really. So any side has that chance of actually winning the league championship. And Bronzeby finished second with another good example of how it's always changing the landscape in the league itself. So as I said, seven different clubs in the last 10 years, just goes to show we have a very good sort of product within the county.
And let's be honest, Sal, the 10 years before that, it was not nearly so diverse. I'm not knocking Ealing in the slightest, but I mean,
it just goes to show how good they were.
It shows how good they were, that's right, but it has turned full circle. Yeah.
Which is great, isn't it? It's just healthy. It gives hope to anyone who comes up, or is it you know, in the division thinking, can we emulate what Stanmore done, what Crouch and what Hampson and Richmond, all these sides who have won it in the last 10 years?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Fellas, it's been a pleasure. We'll know that chat soon. Thanks very much.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Thank you.
Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.